the Sicha for Parshas Ha'azinu is on Chelek Dalet, Volume 4 of Likutei Sichos. On the Pasuk Ha'azinu Hashamayim Va'ad Abeza, hear heavens and I will speak, V'sishma Ha'aretz Imrei Pi, and listen earth to the words of my mouth. On this verse, the Medrash brings a number of explanations. The first explanation is, listen heavens, that was a reference to the mitzvahs that were given from heaven, a Torah that was given from heaven. As it says, Atem le'isam ki min ha'shamayim debarti imachem. God says, you saw how I spoke to you from heaven. So the Torah was given from heaven, and that's why Moshe calls on heaven to hear what he had to say. V'sishma ha'aretz imrei pi, and then Moshe calls on earth to hear the words that Moshe was going to say, because it was on the earth that the Jews stood when they said Na'aseh v'nishma. Another explanation, Hazinu Hashamayim, Moshe called on the heavens to testify or to inspire the Jews who are not doing the mitzvahs that are heavenly, the mitzvahs of establishing the new month and so on, that are determined by the heavenly bodies, by the sun and the moon. And then he called on the earth because they weren't doing mitzvahs that were given in reference to earth, which is the mitzvahs of leket, shikcha, peya, truma, maisa, shmitas, v'yevus, all the mitzvahs that are connected with agriculture, with work in the fields, with the earth. That's the second explanation. The third explanation is Hazino Hashamayim, he called on the heavens because the Jews weren't doing the mitzvahs that all the mitzvahs that are given from heaven, and they weren't doing all the mitzvahs that were given on earth. In conclusion of all of this, the Medrash then goes ahead and says that Moshe was asking the heaven and the earth to be witnesses, that they should testify to the Aveda that the Jews are doing. And they were chosen to be the witnesses because the heaven and the earth remain forever. So they are reliable witnesses to always be around to testify to the Aveda of the Jew. Now the Rashi quotes only this final statement, the end of the Sifri, the statement that the heaven and earth were to serve as witnesses. And yet, the statement that they're serving as witnesses is the conclusion of the previous explanations, three explanations that the Medrash gives, and Rashi doesn't quote it at all. And we know from how the previous Nesiim, the previous Rebbes, would extol the importance of Rashi's commentary, because Rashi, in his commentary, reveals the pnimius of the Torah. And yet, he brings only this last final version, because that is the summation of all that came before, of all the three positions, of all the three explanations. Now, in those explanations, the second and third explanation seem to be saying the same thing. The second explanation says that he called on heaven because of the mitzvahs that are heavenly, and he called on earth because of the mitzvahs that are earthy. And in the third explanation, he seems to be saying the same thing. Because they weren't doing mitzvahs that were given in heaven, and they weren't doing mitzvahs that were given on earth. The difference between them is that in the second explanation, he enumerates what are the mitzvahs that are connected to heaven, establishing the calendar and the days of the Yom Tovs and so on, which are all dependent on heavenly bodies. And he enumerates the mitzvahs that are dependent on earth, all the agricultural mitzvahs. In the third explanation, he says that the Jews weren't doing all the mitzvahs connected to heaven and all the mitzvahs connected to earth, but he doesn't enumerate what they are. And also he adds the word all the mitzvahs. So we need to understand the significance and the difference between these two ways of doing mitzvahs. We also have to understand that according to the second explanation, where the heaven is called upon to testify to mitzvahs that are heavenly, and the earth is called to testify on mitzvahs that are earthy, you need to have two witnesses. And here it seems that each heaven and earth testify separately. Each one testifies to what pertains to it. But then you don't have two witnesses. And finally, we have to understand why heaven and earth in the first place. If you want to inspire someone with the importance of mitzvahs, tell them, remind them that these are the mitzvahs of God, that God needs these mitzvahs, that these are God's commandments. That should be much more inspiring than the fact that heaven and earth will testify or will watch or will observe. And particularly in a time when you're trying to arouse the neshama, the days before Yom Kippur or right after Yom Kippur, during the 10 days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, when you're trying to arouse the essence of the neshama, the inner part of the neshama, you should really use a deeper inspiration than the inspiration of heaven and earth. So the Rebbe explains as follows. The Rebbe spoken many times that the Avodah, the service of God, consists of two parts, two extremes. On the one hand, we have to serve God out of simple, uncomplicated emunah and kabbalas oil. That comes from the core of the neshama, from the essence of the neshama, that is much higher than any reason and than any explanation. While at the same time, this core of the neshama, this essential bond with God, has to permeate, reach down, and influence all of our behavior, including our intelligence and our emotions. They should all be permeated with godliness, and they should all feel and appreciate what the neshama feels, so that the mind should understand godliness, and the heart should love God and fear God, and so on. And not only is this true of Torah and mitzvahs in general, it is particularly true of the mitzvah of tshuva. That in the mitzvah of tshuva we have these two parts. On the one hand, we seek bikshu panai, we seek a connection to God that is deep and greater than any understanding and than any reason. And at the same time, the tshuva has to influence our thinking and our understanding and our emotions. Which is why there are 10 days, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, because we have to bring the tshuva into the 10 powers of the soul, from Chachma, Bina, Das, all the way down to Malchus. And just as it is with the person, that he has to bring the core of his neshama into his faculties, into the 10 levels of the neshama, that are basically made up of Seichel and Midis, intelligence and emotions, the same is true also with the Torah itself and with the mitzvahs themselves. We start off with Anechi Hashem Elokecha. God says, I am God. Anechi Misha Anechi Dvayitvas B'Shem V'Lei Yisram Is B'Shum Eis V'Keitzekwal. Anechi, I am, I means that part of God that doesn't have a name. It's higher than a name. And this connection that a Jew has with Anochi is only felt and experienced in the core of his neshama. Then it says, Anochi Hashem. Hashem is a name. But a name of God that describes God himself and not the behavior of God. This we can understand, we can apprehend with our higher faculties, the faculties of the mind and the heart. Then it says, Anechi Hashem Elokecha. Elokecha is where it describes that part of God that is actively involved in the creation, and that is restricted and contracted according to the degree of godliness that the created beings can tolerate. And we understand or connect to that part of God through our actions, through our lower faculties. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to arouse the Jews in their commitment to Torah and Mitzvahs, in their performance of Torah and Mitzvahs, and this has to influence and affect all the faculties of the person, therefore, he starts off by saying that Torah and Mitzvahs were given through heaven and earth, through the heaven and earth, in order to arouse, to inspire the Jew concerning their heaven and earth, their higher faculties, which is their intelligence and their emotions, and their lower faculties, their earthiness, which is their speech and action. Reb explains in detail the three levels, the core of the neshama, the heaven of the neshama, and the earth of the neshama, find expression in three different types of avodah. The study of Torah is primarily a heavenly activity because it engages the mind and the heart. The performance of mitzvahs, that is primarily a level of action of earth. And then there is tshuva, and the tshuva is primarily bakshu panai, seeking the essence of God, which comes from the essence of the neshama. But since in holiness all things are interconnected, intertwined, therefore in each of them there is an element of the other two as well. These three kinds of aveda are the three levels that the Medrash is talking about on the explanation of the words Hazina HaShemayim. The first explanation that the Sifri brings is that because the Torah was given from heaven and it was given to the people who said Nasa V'Nishma while standing on the earth. This is referring primarily to the study of Torah, which is primarily a heavenly activity performed with the mind and the heart. But because all things are connected, so in the study of Torah you have also the other two, the earthy part of the neshama and the essence of the neshama. The earthy part of the neshama is the speech. When you're studying Torah, you have to say the words, to speak the words, which is the earthy part of the study of Torah. And you also have the essence of the neshama involved, because in order for the study to be proper, to be a proper study, you first have to accept Kabbalah Seil and have the Emunah Pshuta that you're studying God's Torah, and that influences how you study. So the study of Torah contains both the earthy and the essence, while it is primarily a heavenly level. The second explanation of the Medrash is that there are mitzvahs that are dependent on heavenly bodies, and they are the mitzvahs that are dependent on earthy events. Here, the Medrash is referring to the doing of mitzvahs, not to the study of Torah, but to the doing of mitzvahs. And the doing of mitzvahs is associated primarily with earth, with doing, which is earthy. But here again, since all things are connected, in the earthy part of Torah and mitzvahs, there's also the heavenly part and also the essential part. Because in the doing of the mitzvahs, you also have to have a heavenly part, which is the kavana of the mitzvah. And of course, you have to have the yoke of heaven, the fear of heaven, the essence of the neshama that motivates the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. And here we have both witnesses, heaven and earth, because although we're talking about that which is primarily heaven, study of Torah, and that which is primarily earth, the doing of mitzvahs, yet they are interdependent and each contains an element of the other. So the kavana, which is heaven, and the action, which is earth, are not two separate things, but are testified to by both heaven and earth. The third explanation that the Medrash brings is talking about the level of tshuva. And that's why in the third level, in the third explanation, he says it's because the Jews weren't doing all the mitzvahs of heaven and all the mitzvahs of earth. Here there are no details, because you're talking about tshuva, and tshuva covers all of Torah and mitzvahs. So the heavenly part, the kavana, and the action part, the earth, are affected by the tshuva. The tshuva comes from the essence of the neshama, and because the essence of the neshama is in some way higher than mitzvahs, that's why tshuva can correct and undo the damage that was caused by the failure to perform mitzvahs, or the transgression of a commandment. And although the tshuva is primarily an element of the essence of the neshama, but obviously it has to contain in it also the element of heaven and the element of earth, but it is not two separate things. They're all wrapped up in one, because tshuva combines them all and affects them all. Now, through the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu made heaven and earth witnesses for our observance of Torah and mitzvahs, this helps a Jew to avoid sin and to do mitzvahs. As Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his students, that the fear of heaven should be upon you like the fear of man. And they said, not more than that? So he said, yes, it doesn't need to be more than that. Because when a person sins, he says, Shalei Yirani Adam. He sins only on the assumption that he's not being watched, that nobody sees him. So if we are prevented from sinning, we hesitate to sin, because a human being is watching, how much more so if God is watching? So if we had the fear of sin to the degree that we would not sin if a person was present, that itself would give us, would make us pretty, pretty holy Jews. And this awareness that heaven and earth are always watching, and they are the witnesses, and they testify to our observance or to our failure to observe, this gives us the strength to serve God on all three levels of Torah and mitzvahs and tshuva. Since in the month of Tishrei, we have to absorb and we have to fortify ourselves for the entire year of the mitzvahs and Torah that we will be studying and doing all year, and since everything begins in Torah, and Torah is the source of all energy, of all strength, that's why we read Hazinu during the month of Tishrei, to prepare us for a year, and to give us the strength for a year of Torah and mitzvahs on all three levels of study and of doing and of tshuva. Yud Gimel Tishrei is the yahrzeit of the Rebbe Marash. So the Rebbe says in the letter in the back of Chelek Dalid, of Volume 4 of Lekut HaSichos, I will tell you a story related to the Rebbe Marash, which occurred while he was still young, before the printing of the Lakuta Teza. The Tzemach Tzedek was very fond of the Marash, of his son, and he would spend a lot of time, the Rebbe Marash would spend a lot of time in the Tzemach Tzedek's room. One time, it was late at night, after Yechidus, which had taken up a lot of time, had gone late into the night, more than longer and more than usual, and in the course of their conversation, the Tzemach Tzedek bemoaned the fact that the Yechidus takes up so much of his time. And he said, what do they want from me? I could be studying during that time. The Marash didn't say anything, but he went over to the bookcase in which the Tzemach Tzedek kept his manuscripts. And he pulled the curtain aside, the curtain that covered the bookcase, and he began to count the volumes of manuscripts of Hasidus that were there on the shelves. He counted more than 30 volumes. Then he turned to his father and he asked, would you have been able to write all these maimonim even if you were not receiving people on Yechidus? And the Tzemach Tzedek answered, yes, you're right. When the previous Rebbe related this story, he added the detail that there were three kinds of manuscripts that the Tzemach Tzedek had. There were manuscripts where he had recorded the Maimarim, the teaching that he had heard. The second type where he had written explanations to the Hasidus that he had heard. And the third are the manuscripts that he himself had written as a Rebbe, original Maimarim. And most of the manuscripts in that particular bookcase that the Rebbe Marash was counting were of the third type of the original Maimonim that the Rebbe had written, that the Tzemach Tzedek had written himself. Now, it needs to be understood that when the Tzemach Tzedek said, I could spend this time studying, he didn't mean to withhold or even to diminish the influence that he had and the benefit that came to the people when they came to see him privately in Yechidus. The Rebbe wasn't saying, why do I have to deal with them? Why do I have to help them when I could be studying for myself? Because it is a halacha that you interrupt the study of Torah in order to do a mitzvah that can't be done through anyone else. And since no one else can do what a Rebbe can do, it is, according to halacha, consistent that he should interrupt his studies and devote himself to this mitzvah. Also, we are guaranteed that by helping another person serve God better, our own mind and heart become refined and more receptive a thousandfold. So the intention that the Tzemach Tzedek had when he said, I could be studying during this time, he meant to say that I could influence and inspire the people through my own learning. I could accomplish what the Yechidus accomplishes through the study of Torah, just like Shem Bar Yochai was able to make it rain through his study of Torah. To this, the Rebbe Marash answered that the ability to write Maimonim, the third kind, the original Maimonim as a Rebbe, which means to be able to reveal the secrets of Torah, this comes through and as a result of teaching others and being mashpia on others in a hands-on fashion. Not from a distance, but from a true involvement with the people. Yechidus meaning revealing to the essence, the yechidah of the neshama. And that enables the person to then be able to say and to write my mother. Now this answer had to come, of course, from his son, who would eventually become his successor and be a Rebbe as well. Only he could produce this kind of inspiration for his father. Now stories about tzaddikim, even the ones that happen in their youth, and particularly the ones that are told to us by a Rebbe, all of these stories are a lesson to us in our Avodah. And so it is with this story. In addition to the fact that it shows us the intelligence, the wisdom of the Rebbe Marash even as a young boy, it also tells us that even while he was young, he was able to find a way to inspire his father, and in a way that reflects the respect that he had for his father. His answer came in the form of a question, which according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to Halacha, when a son is correcting or teaching his father, he has to do it in the form of a question rather than in the form of a statement. So all of this teaches us that through one good deed that a person does, he can tilt the whole world towards merit, tilt the scales of the world towards merit, and brings a purification and a refinement in the whole world. And yet, that is not enough, because we have to purify the world by getting involved with it, not from a distance, not from arm's length, but by immersing ourselves, throwing ourselves into the project and into the problem, and fixing it from within, from up close. So when we influence another person, when we get involved with another person's growth or another person's problems, it has to be with a true involvement and not from a distance. And that brings an additional growth, an additional refinement in the teacher as well. As the Gemara says, Meir Einei Shneiem Hashem, that when two people are working together, the student and the teacher, in order to grow in the service of God, then the teacher is benefited. The teacher's eyes are illuminated as well as the student.